I boast of anything I've ever seen or done. How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Thank you. At this time, we'd like to ask all our little sinners saved by grace to come forward for our children's moment. Y'all, come on. I got it. Come on down. Y'all know what today is? Today is Christ the King Sunday. You know what I have on my head? A crown. You all are going to get a crown during the children's moment. Y'all get to decorate your own crowns, all right? Does that sound like a plan? Is that exciting? All right. Joel got the bag this week. We're going to see what Joel put in here. A piece of paper with the ABCs on them. Is that correct? Now, is that what this is, right? Yeah? Or is there something special about this?
I'll tell you a secret. No one listens.
Oh. Well, my mic's on, so maybe we ought not to do that. All right, so we've got here the alphabet here. Joel loves the alphabet. He and myself enjoy words and letters and things like that. And Jesus is referred to in John as the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And starting next week, we're going to celebrate Advent, and we're going to prepare, right, for Christmas. And what happens on Christmas, aside from presents and that big guy with the red clothes?
Merry Santa!
Yeah, besides that, Jesus, right? We celebrate Jesus' birth, and so we're going to celebrate the Word made flesh and how His creation continues to be lived out among us. And so we remember that always. And so thank you, Joel. Here, you can have that back. And we continue to celebrate Jesus as the Word. Hold on. All right. Now, I sent an email out. Did everyone get my email? Most everybody got my email? So the kids have had the bag long enough. So for the month of December, there are 5 weeks, and we are going to give the bag today, starting with an adult here in the church. Hold on. Now, I made a rule here that the bag cannot go to any of their parents, because they've had their chance through the kids, and it cannot go to a staff person. The children today are going to decide who gets the bag, and then from that point forward, the adults will give the bag to somebody. And you don't have to tell me who has the bag, but you do have to be here to explain whatever's in the bag if I don't know what it is. And you have to make sure to hand the bag off to the next adult. Now, we're going to go over the rules of the bag one more time just to make sure we all remember what those rules are. You can put anything in the bag, but it cannot be alive. It cannot used to be alive. If I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is. And if it is anything related to Ohio State, I will burn the bag. And we will never do this again. All right. So, if you are an adult that is not a parent and is not a staff person, please raise your hand. And children, you guys are going to decide who gets the bag to start.
Who should get the bag?
Well, they're raising their hand. So, you guys, who do you think? Who do you want to give the bag to? You can't. Don't take it to a parent. Well, don't throw it. Nancy's technically staff, so that doesn't work. Do you want to give it to Miss Dina? She's a little too excited about this. All right. So go take it to Miss Dina. All right, kids, come up here now. Hold on. We're not running all around everywhere. Joel, please come here. Holy smokes. All right, Miss Dina, you know the rules of the bag, correct? You're going to play fair, right? Oh, yeah, exactly. All right. So we're going to pray. Yeah, no, none of that. Those are poisonous, so you don't want those. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for these children, for the opportunities we have, not only to teach them, but Lord, to learn from them as well. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead them as we celebrate this Sunday, as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. We give you thanks and praise, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, kids, you all can head to Children's Church. Scripture lesson this morning comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Revelation 1, 4 through 8. Today, as we've made mention, is Christ the King Sunday. Today is the last Sunday of the Christian year, and as such, we celebrate Christ as King. We do so because we have followed the Christian year all throughout the life and the work and the ministry of Jesus. And today we recognize what all of that has kind of led to in terms of his kingship and who he is. And so we celebrate him as king as we then prepare next week and following to prepare for his arrival as the baby in the manger. Remembering, of course, that he has promised to return. And we find ourselves in the waiting period for that as well. So, with that in mind, I want us to read from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Hear now the word of our Lord. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from the one who is and was and is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To the one who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, who made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and always. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, including those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. This is so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who was, the one who is and was and is coming, the Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for your love and your grace, for your Son, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. We pray now that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. What we have here in the beginning of Revelation is John's introduction of Jesus. He is introducing Jesus to these seven churches and therefore to all of the Christians and all of the people in this area. His purpose was to send it to these seven strategically placed churches so that, of course, the word would spread from them. And in this greeting, John is not only speaking on behalf of Jesus, but he is helping them to understand who Jesus is. There's a sense that he is introducing him to some and reintroducing him to others. Now, how many of you all are familiar with the comedian Steve Harvey? All right, yeah, he's a professional flibber to gibbet, meaning someone who talks incessantly. He gets to do that, and he gets paid for it, kind of like me. It's kind of nice. It's fun. People come around to listen to what we have to say. And he has an introduction for Jesus. Has anyone seen Steve Harvey's introduction of Jesus? Got one? Got a few of us. So we're going to watch this clip. This is Steve Harvey. He's on the tour with the Kings of Comedy. That was several years ago. And in the midst of this tour, he decides he's going to give an introduction to Jesus Christ. So we're going to watch the clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with two fish, five loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the Kings of Comedy, he was hailed the King of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
God has been good.
Amen. That's pretty good. It's hard to compete with something like that. The introduction that we have here that John is giving us in the book of Revelation, I think it was meant to be received this same way. I think it was meant to be received by the churches in a way that would cause no doubt about who Jesus is, who he claims to be, and who we claim him to be as our Lord and Savior, as the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, as he mentions here. Now, the book of Revelation for many makes us a little nervous. And I think from time to time it can frighten us. And this is often because we forget who Jesus is. Every time we fall into fear, every time we fall into extreme anxiety and worry and doubt, there is a sense of fear. And we are forgetting that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is both behind us and before us. Jesus has initiated life. He continues to create day in and day out, and he gives us eternal life through his death and resurrection. Now, when we hear that, when we remember that, there are very few things that should cause us any fear, right? These words are meant to encourage and to remind us who we follow. As we bring this Christian year to a close, 2018, we do so today with a grand celebration, remembering Christ as King, remembering all of the things that he has done, remembering back to last Advent as we prepared for his arrival and how we have celebrated the things he has done all throughout the year. Make no mistake this morning, the King of worship, Jesus Christ, is great and he is powerful. There is no doubt about that. But he is also humble and meek. And we will again celebrate and emphasize that in the coming weeks. We have before us today these two crowns, one a crown of glory, the other a crown of thorns. And we know that one is not possible without the other because of who Jesus is as our King. Jesus is grace personified. And John shows us a little later in this book that he is both the Lion and the Lamb. That is who we put our trust in. That is why, hopefully, we gather in this place week in and week out, to remember who our King is, to pay homage to our King, to offer to our King all that we have and all that we are, so that he may be glorified, so that he may be proclaimed in our lives, verbally and non-verbally. John tells us that Jesus is the faithful witness. He's the only witness necessary in a time where there needed to be at least two witnesses to prove something. According to the law, he is the firstborn from among the dead. And that's one of my favorite titles for God, because that implies there will be others who will be born from the dead. That means us. That means that we share in his resurrection as followers of Jesus Christ. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. There is no one in authority or power today that has not been given and granted that authority by Jesus Christ. He is the one who loves us constantly without any regard to how we respond to him or what we do. He loves us. And because he loves us, he freed us from our sins by his very own blood, as John mentions here. He has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. We are a kingdom. We are a church. We are priests who worship and honor this King and do the work that he has laid out before us. You see, everything that we do is meant to point back to the cross. Now, when we talk about Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, we've got him on the bookends, right, of everything that we do and everything that we think of. But when we do that, I think sometimes we tend to miss that he's also right there in the midst. He's right there in the midst. And that's where the cross comes in, where he has made all of this possible. It is the cross of Jesus Christ that makes him the Alpha and the Omega. He knew, as the world was being created, that he would have to come, that he would have to die. And he still did it this way. This greeting here that John is giving us is meant to help us understand that we have nothing to fear so long as we are in Christ, because we know that perfect love casts fear out. That perfect love that we have in Jesus. And so after hearing all of this, after pondering all of these things, and these are things that we know, things that we've been told for a long time, we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to respond to it? How do we respond to this introduction here? Does it bring us peace? Does it give us courage? Does it enable us for the work ahead? How do we hear what is presented before us? Do we believe it? Do we trust it? Maybe we want to believe it. Maybe we want to trust it, but there's just something missing. And that thing missing is the fear that hasn't been cast out yet. Because we know that when we take that step, when we accept who Christ is, when we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, when we decide to be his disciples, that fear is pushed aside. And anyone who can remember the moment they gave their lives to Jesus remembers how powerful they felt in that moment and how nothing seemed impossible when they gave their lives to Christ. And we have an opportunity to give our lives to him on a regular basis, to be reminded about how powerful he is and how powerful we are if we would cast that fear aside and follow our King. Follow him not into some battle or any battle, but into the battles that he has already won. Will we allow Jesus this morning to be our beginning and our end? Will we allow him to be who he truly is? And in the midst of recognizing he is the one who created us and he is the one who will bring us on to perfection when we pass from this life, do we recognize that he is here in the midst as well? It's very easy to say that we love someone enough to die for them, but do we love him enough to live for him? In the in-between, our beginning and our end, are we living for Jesus? Are we doing that which he has called us to do? Are we taking our crown and from time to time laying it aside to wear this crown, to suffer the things that we have to suffer, to do the things that we have to do so that God may be glorified? One of the great things about the book of Revelation, with all of the imagery that is there, we see several instances where the apostles and the people that are before Jesus cast their crowns. They count them as worthless, and they give them to Jesus. Are we willing and ready to do that today? And to take up the mantle that he has called each and every one of us to? I don't know what that is for you. You may not know what that is for you, but our King does. And are we spending time listening, seeking to know who he is calling us to be? As we prepare to enter into another year, we need to remember that Jesus is ahead of us. He is leading us. We don't have to know the right direction, because he is there before us, leading the way. We simply have to follow. And if we will focus on who we are following rather than all of the distractions and all of the things around us, fear will have a much more difficult time getting it. And we'll be able to follow where he is leading. But we must also remember that he is behind us and beside us, encouraging us. Sometimes he's pushing us. Anyone ever felt like they've been pushed by God? Encouraged to do the things that he is going to equip us to do rather than calling us to do the things that we're already equipped to do. The list of things I'm already equipped to do is very short. And if God only called me to that, I wouldn't have to rely on him very much, would I? But there's a long list of things he is calling us to do that we are ill-equipped for. Which means, who's going to get the credit? Him. Because he's the one that deserves the credit. He's the one who is giving us those opportunities and the grace to do those things that we are called to do. And in the midst of all that we encounter, in the midst of all of the things that we see and all of the things that we do and all the places that he calls us to, I want us to remember that Jesus is with us, that Jesus is guiding us, that our King has not left us nor forsaken us, but he is right there with us. This is what makes him a king worth following. And as we're following him, we have the opportunity to introduce him to others, to share him with others. Now, we won't all share with others and introduce Jesus the way Steve Harvey did. We won't all do it the way other people do, but we have the opportunity to share Jesus with others the way that we are able to do. Right? We may not do it with an audience of thousands or millions or even tens or twenty, but often we'll have the opportunity to do that one-on-one with a kind word spoken, with a kind gesture given, with just the opportunity maybe to look somebody face-to-face and offer them Christ's love just in the manner in which you hold yourself. Jesus doesn't call us to go in and win a lot of battles. He simply calls us to be faithful to the battles that he has already won, to encounter people that we can encounter. One of the favorite aspects of the book of John is Andrew and how he shares Jesus with others. He's only mentioned three times in the book of John, Andrew is, and each time he's introducing someone to Jesus. Each time he's bringing someone to Jesus. The first time, he brings his brother Peter. So he starts with his family, right? He starts with someone he knows, someone he's comfortable with, someone he can have these types of conversations with. Then, as Jesus is giving the greatest fish fry ever given, that's all a result of Andrew bringing to Jesus this little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then later on in John, as Jesus is preparing to enter Jerusalem, we see him and Philip bringing some Greeks to meet Jesus. None of these people are intimidating. When we often talk about sharing Jesus with others, I think we get so afraid of all of the possible things that can go wrong. But Andrew does it very simply. It starts with family, then with a little boy, and then with a group of people who are already asking about Jesus. That's what he does. That's how he introduces people to his King. And that's a great way that we can do that. I hope and pray this day that as we encounter our King, as we spend time with our Savior, that we will have opportunities to introduce him to others. The world knows about Jesus. The average person you encounter on the street is going to know about Jesus. Chances are they're going to only know about the Jesus that judges. Chances are they're only going to know about the churches that look down on other And that means we have an opportunity to really introduce them to the Jesus way. We have an opportunity to introduce them to other Christians that we know that aren't like that, that are ordinary people, that have faults just like everyone else. That is who they're going to want to hear from. That is who they want to meet, and that is who we know. So the task is simple, to share Jesus. The task is complex because we have to unshare some of the things that have previously been shared and reintroduce them, if you will. But we have an opportunity to do that, and I pray and hope that we will take that opportunity. I pray that you will be thinking about people that you know who may not be in church, who may not be Christians, who may not know who Jesus is. It's not a judgment call on your part to say that you don't think they know who Jesus is the way you do. But it's an opportunity to be in prayer for them. To be in prayer that God will open up opportunities to share with them the Jesus that you know. To share with them the things that you have seen. To have the opportunity to say Jesus is King. And to help them understand what that means. To help them understand how he became their king. Through the cross. Through the resurrection. Through his ascension. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a mighty king this morning. A powerful, humble, meek, and graceful king. May we be powerful. May we be humble. May we be meek. And may we share his grace with others. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and for your grace. We thank you that you are our King, and we pray that you would help us to be mindful of who you are, to be mindful of who we are, and to be mindful of who others are. May we seek to help those who are sinners so that they, like us, may be sinners saved by your grace. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.